Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:34 British Summer Time. Today is September 4th, and this was a mixed day on stock markets. Starting out in Asia, the Nikkei was up by about 0.5%, and that followed from yesterday's weakness by the yen. And the yen is a little bit weaker in here at the close today as it closes back in on the 100 yen to the dollar level. In Australia, the Aussie dollar was up by a full cent, and the 88 to 90 cent area appears to be an area of support. The RBA has made it quite clear it's not going to tolerate a strong currency anymore, but considering that the Aussie dollar has been one of the weakest currencies in the world this year, then the potential for some ranging in this area has increased quite a lot. In local currency terms, the ASX was a little bit weaker. It was down about 0.2%, but that's rallied right back up to a previous area of resistance. So some consolidation of what have been rather impressive gains in local currency terms is likely in this area. In US dollar terms, for example, the ASX is much less impressive and has been entirely more range-bound. But elsewhere in Asia, and particularly among the currency, among the countries that have had weak currencies, we continue to see volatility and weakness. Singapore, for example, broke its progression of higher reaction lows that has been evident for over a year, about 2 weeks ago, and extended its decline in here today. And the Singapore dollar continues to fall back towards the lower side of its range against the US dollar. And the Indonesian rupiah has seen, if one looks at a very long-term chart, then the rupiah is falling back towards a previous area of support, but that's about another 10% away from where it is right now. And nothing has really happened to check the decline in the currency. And with the declining value of the currency, that is putting additional pressure on the stock market in the short term. So there is still potential for additional rock and roll in some of these ASEAN markets, and not least because of the potential for currency depreciation. In Europe today, the majority of markets opened in negative territory, but recouped the vast majority of it, and most of them closed in marginally positive territory. And on Wall Street today, the majority of indices were in positive territory. Now, Wall Street is one of the, the S&P 500, the Dow Jones, and particularly the NASDAQ, and the Russell 2000 are all still reasonably overextended relative to the 200-day moving averages, but they're among the steadiest stock markets in the world. The US dollar, having been really quite firm yesterday, was a little bit easier in here today. One of the reasons that we're seeing such strength in the US is the pace of mergers and acquisitions has increased, with Microsoft bidding for Nokia, which of course listed in Finland, but also Verizon opening up its checkbook as well in the last couple of weeks. And there is the potential that Twitter will go for an IPO at some point in the not too distant future. So the pace of share buybacks remains very high indeed. And one of the reasons for that is because companies have been able to access the lowest cost of capital in history. And they have been in there binging on low-cost debt. So the quantity of debt has increased substantially, and not least because they've been able to refinance at really attractive rates and retire more expensive debt. And any corporation that hasn't taken that advantage of this extraordinary environment really will have some questions to answer as interest rates begin to rise in the medium term. And we've already seen that government bond yields have doubled in the last year. But one of the side effects, or one of the corollaries of this move, has been that companies have been borrowing debt, and then they've been increasing their dividends, and they've been buying back their shares. And That has been an important driver and fuel for the bull market that's been evident since 2009. But government bond yields are closing in on the 10-year around the 3% mark. And while prices were just a little bit weaker in here today, we have seen that they've been deteriorating, and this is very much a downtrend for the vast majority of government bond prices. And this isn't just applicable to the US, but also to Canada and Switzerland and the UK and to the Eurozone. And with government bond yields rising and corporate yields keeping pace, then the cost of rolling over debt and taking out new debt is increasing, and pretty much on a daily basis. So that is going to choke off at some point the attraction of continuing to take out new debt. And that is likely to have a knock-on effect at some stage on the pace of buybacks and the pace of dividend increases for companies that are financing those dividend increases with debt rather than cash flow or with headline growth. So the buyback dividend achievers is an interesting ETF in that to gain access to that index, a company has to have bought back 5% of their shares within the last 12 months. And there's over 100 shares in the ETF. So, and they're big cap shares. So it has outperformed the wider market. It's still reasonably consistent. But when it starts to have a larger pullback, and when it pulls back below the 200-day moving average, then it's likely to either be a lead indicator or at least coincident with a larger pullback and consolidation for the wider market. If we take back and take a look, a step back and look at the risks that are out there, then we have the Syrian situation, which it really is looking like a virtual certainty that we're going to have some form of missile strike on Syria at some point in the next month. And quite how the Middle East reacts to that is very much an open question. Oil continues to be really quite firm and was a bit weaker in here today, but is still at elevated levels and is likely to remain in this range, which is approximately a $3 to $4 range, until we see exactly how this situation begins to play out. But if we do start to see Brent crude pushing above $120, then that is going to be really quite a distinct warning for the growth and expectations of the global economy and the performance of stock markets probably more generally. Government bond yields are rallying at present because people are pricing in the potential that tapering will be announced in the next 3 or 4 weeks. And what we have seen today in the with some of the releases was that US car sales are back up to 2007 levels, and you've got the Fed talking about a moderate growth trajectory. And I guess the big question is whether extraordinary monetary measures are needed to sustain a moderate growth trajectory or not. And is the economy capable of moving back onto a self-sustaining growth trajectory in the absence of quantitative easing? So we have the bond markets and anything that's leveraged to bonds doing really quite badly, and stock markets expecting that are rallying not least because of M&A activity and because of buybacks, and also because people are looking at the stock market and saying that if you're looking for capital appreciation and rising yields and rising dividends rather than yields, then the stock market is probably one of the better bets. And the US, with the US dollar appreciating, not least against emerging market currencies, is looking that bit more attractive. And as long as we see this progression of higher reaction lows intact, then we have to give the benefit of the doubt to the integrity of the medium-term uptrend. But when we do start to see some of these levers getting pulled, such as higher oil prices or another leg up in government bond yields, then that is going to be a risk for stock markets, and it's something that's not likely to be trivial. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.